his nephew's wedding in California, so he is gone. So together, let us read responsively God's word to us from the prophet Jeremiah. Thus says the Lord, cursed are those who trust in mere mortals and make mere flesh their strength, whose hearts turn away from the Lord. Blessed are those who trust in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. The heart is devious above all else. It is perverse. Who can understand it?
The Lord tests the mind and searches the heart to give all according to their ways, according to their wickedness, according to the fruit of their doings.
And now, from the New Testament, from the letter of James, chapter 1, starting in verse 17. Every generous act of giving with every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. In fulfillment of his own purpose, he gave us birth by the word of truth, so that we would become a kind of first fruits of his creatures. You must understand this, my beloved. Let everyone be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger, for your anger does not produce God's righteousness. Therefore, rid yourselves of all sordidness and rank growth of wickedness, and welcome with meekness the implanted word that has the power to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not merely hearers who deceive themselves. For if any are hearers of the word and not doers, they are like those who look at themselves in a mirror, for they look at themselves and on going away immediately forget what they were like. But those who look into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and persevere, being not hearers who forget, but doers who act, they will be blessed in their doing. If any think they are religious and do not bridle their tongues but deceive their hearts, their religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to care for the orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself unstained by the world. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Come, Holy Spirit, and fill us with your presence so that the words of my mouth and the meditations and the ponderings of all of our hearts might be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, there's an old saying, Chicago has two seasons, winter and construction. And I've always disregarded that saying as being kind of snarky. I disregarded it until this past month. For those of you who take Gulf Road to Condell Hospital, watch out. Gulf Road is completely closed for repairs. I know this because I live near Gulf Road. Well, at the same time as road repairs in our neighborhood, water lines are being dug up, which creates more closures and a plethora of earth movers lining our streets. But wait, there's more. Now is the perfect time, someone decided, to dig up all our gas lines, every single gas line in our neighborhood. Now, the only roads that are affected by the gas line construction are those that go east and west and north and south and any variation in between, including my driveway. So
I feel like I'm exiled from my own neighborhood. I turn to go in, and all the roads are blocked, and they say, "Welcome home, you just can't get here." It's white-knuckle driving in the hood. So a story out of Ohio surprised me. After dinner, an 8-year-old wanted a cheeseburger. So like any enterprising kid, he took a few driving lessons off of YouTube, plopped his 4-year-old sister in the car, and drove to McDonald's. Of course, people were looking and went, "Dear, I think you better call 911. There's a little kid driving down the street." Well, one of the officers called to the scene, if you can call the crime scene really two little kids munching cheeseburgers at McDonald's. One of the officers commented, "This kid probably looked at YouTube for 5 minutes and then figured he was just good to go." But you know, that boy wasn't driving in a construction zone loaded with roadblocks, detours, and dead ends. Unlike the prophet Jeremiah. For even without cars, Jeremiah faced roadblocks. Jeremiah's whole world had entered a construction zone because his people were in exile. And this chaos was now the new normal. It is in the midst of such transition and uncertainty and fear that Jeremiah was called to speak God's truth. And Jeremiah said, despite all the dead ends, people, you have two choices. You can be like a shallow shrub planted in the desert, parched, and always searching for water, which may or which may not come. Or, Jeremiah said, being in exile, souls could be rooted in God like trees planted near streams that nourish and sustain even in a drought. And to top it all off, Jeremiah reminded folks that like trees, people are rooted in living water, bear fruit. Well, Jeremiah warned God's people not to depend on others or our own whims to make our lives easy street. More than anything else, it's our hearts that affect our attitudes and our choices. Well, when James wrote his letter about 500 plus years after Jeremiah, he also wasn't going to let followers try to scoot by with a YouTube faith. You know, 5 minutes and you're good to go. Just like Jeremiah offered hope to his downtrodden people, James encouraged and reminded disciples that God is all light. With God, there is no shadow, no anger, no darkness. All the good stuff comes from God. All the bad stuff, that's from us. James then urges Christ's followers to be God's light in our world, like stars that illumine the night. One star can shine very little, but together, the night becomes light. Well, how do we do that? Let's look to both Jeremiah and James. Jeremiah said the place to start is your heart. What's in your heart will emanate out of you like light or like darkness. And James, 500 years later, gets practical. Now, I'm going to go off on a little tangent. Martin Luther, the famous reformer, wanted to toss James's gospel because he said, James is too practical. We're saved by grace alone. And James goes, no, let's get practical here. Let's tell folks what we need to do. And I'll let you decide who should win that debate. James points out two aspects of our Christian living. And the first is, we need to watch our words. Words are the nuts and bolts of life. Now, James is talking to us as Christians to speak uplifting words for Jesus Christ. And I had some great examples, but I got to tell you folks, things changed yesterday after I saw John McCain's service. I was so impressed by the words of our former presidents Obama and George W. Bush. I was really uplifted by them. But what really got to me were Meghan McCain's tearful, heartfelt words about her dad. She listed all the ways that he was defined: hero, warrior, prisoner of war, senator, presidential candidate. But she said, no, he was defined by love. And then she spoke to all of us when she reminded all of us that America is generous, welcoming, and bold. No need to boast, but to be generous. Greatness is woven into the fabric of our nation. I was inspired. But why does it take a death for leaders to speak in inspirational ways? Why does it take a tragedy, heartbreak, for us to be uplifted, to be spoken to with boldness and courage and truth and love? Why can't that be the normal, everyday conversation of our lives? And if those were words about just one man, and when I lived in Phoenix, I lived kind of close to John McCain, and yes, he had a temper, everyone knew it. But how much more grand and rousing our words can be about God who has no temper, as James just said, about God who is all light. Let me ask, what words inspire you? You heard yesterday what the words that inspired me. What words inspire you, and what words discourage you? Now, which of these do you most often speak? And how do your words reflect on God? If I think about it, that's a challenge that sometimes I don't want to face. You know, James says our heart can be deceitful, or Jeremiah says our heart can be devious, because sometimes I think whatever I say is right, but no, words matter. Words matter. And according to James, actions speak even louder than words. And this is his second recommendation for Christian living: to be doers of the word. For words without actions are like stars on a cloudy night. Their goodness is obscured. And sometimes we can't even tell if stars are even there. It was a good weekend to talk about actions, our works, because it's Labor Day weekend, a weekend set aside to appreciate and honor workers and our work. In fact, this is the lectionary reading for today. Churches all over should be reading this one. But we will get back to work soon enough. And starting next week, on the 12th, the women's group will be discussing women from the book Seven Women and the Secret of Their Greatness by Eric Metaxas. And one of them is a story that some of you may know. It's the story of Corrie ten Boom. She was a part of a Christian family for generations who lived in the same house in Holland. They were watchmakers. They had their shop down below, and they slept upstairs, generation after generation after generation. Right there, you could count on the ten booms, until the Nazis occupied Holland. Well, the ten booms had spent hours daily in prayer for the Jews in their neighborhood who were now being persecuted. But then one day, one of them came knocking on their door seeking refuge. What to do? The ten booms were an average, ordinary family like us, without any resources against the great Nazis. What to do? Well, the ten booms knew that they had to put their words of their prayers, into action, and so they offered to help. No one was turned away. They got people out of Holland. They got people food ration cards. And eventually, the ten booms built a secret compartment in their house behind Corrie's closet so that they could hide Jews back there until an escape out of Holland could be arranged. Well, one day a man came seeking help, and once he was assured the ten booms would help him, he said, I'll be back in a few hours. And he was, along with the Nazi stormtroopers. That man was a Nazi sympathizer, a betrayer. And so Corey's whole family was taken into custody, was imprisoned. Many of them stayed and died in prisons in Holland. Corey and her sister were sent to Germany to the infamous concentration camp, Ravensbrück. And Corey noticed that during her prayers every night at Ravensbrück, the stars overhead were obscured by the smoke and ash from the crematorium. There was no light, no light. So she felt it all the more necessary to be God's light, to be God's light inside of a concentration camp. And that's hard to do when you're flea-bitten, sick, starving, beaten, and surrounded by utter despair. But she did it. Corey was God's light in one of the darkest places in modern history. She was a tree rooted in living water despite the drought of human dignity, human decency. Well, after the war, and by the way, Corey was subject to execution, and there was a clerical mistake, and for some reason she was released. Now, she was released into Nazi Germany without identification, clothes, money, anything, but she was released. While the rest of her family was murdered, Corey continued, regardless, to be God's light in the world. She traveled extensively, talking and sharing and witnessing to the love of God and the power of forgiveness. And forgiveness, Corey maintained, is not a feeling, but an action, a cold-blooded decision. And Corey had to act on forgiveness over and over and over again, writing a letter to her betrayer before his own execution, embracing guards who sought her forgiveness. She had to physically say, "I embrace you as a brother," even though they had tortured her and killed her family. So I guess as Christians, we can't spend 5 minutes on YouTube and figure we're good to go, that we got this whole faith thing covered, like it's easy street. No roadblocks, no bulldozers, no dead ends. No, it's not easy. So instead of looking at YouTube, look into your soul. During communion, ponder God's light. Ponder God's light in your life. Where can it shine brighter? It starts with the heart, goes out through our words, and is manifested to the world in our actions. And remember the words of Jeremiah. They're still true for us today. Regardless of the roadblocks and dead ends, we have a choice. We can choose to see God's light and to be God's light, or we can choose to obscure God's light and complain about living in the darkness. What'll it be? Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.